Good morning.
Good morning.
So I need a couple different things. One, August 4th and 5th are Tuesday and Wednesday. Those are very important days. I need them on your calendar for prayer. This is the move-in day for Fort Valley State University. My husband's telling me you can't hear me. From Fort Valley State University. We have been granted the privilege of being on campus to welcome the students and their families as they move into the dorms for the fall semester. Isn't that amazing? That is something that we have not ever had the opportunity to do. So we reached out to Georgia Baptist Evangelism, and they gifted us with 700 backpacks, brand new. They come in a variety of colors, navy, green, red, and pink. Yes. And we will be handing out brand new, really nice, I'll leave this up here so you can look and see and touch and feel, backpacks for the students. We will also be handing out water, cold water, in the name of Jesus, but also because it's hot. And folks get hangry, and they get hot, and they get thirsty. And so we're going to help them with that day a little bit more. One of the other things that we're going to hand out with the backpacks are rack cards in both English and Spanish that tell about Rooted in Scent, our young adult ministry. So we're really working to kick that off. I have two helpers. Actually, I think I have three. I have three helpers. Girls, you want to come up here? If you do not have a laminated bookmark that gives you a prayer request for bullet points of things to pray for Rooted in Scent, our young adult ministry, will you raise your hand? Because our girls would love to. Girls, if you'll just take those to the people who are raising their hands. All right. All right. And then Elise, Miss Carla right there. Okay, so, all right, we'll get some more if we're out. See me after church, and I'll find you some more. So that is what we've got going on. And the second ask is that I need volunteers to help me smile and hand out backpacks and cold water and welcome these students back in. So we'll get you after, I think, we're running out. The girls are out. Okay, I'll get you. See me after church, and we'll get you some more if you don't have one. August 4th and 5th. It's a Tuesday and a Wednesday. So I will need volunteers. We have a canopy. We have a fan. If it's too hot, they've already told us that we can go into the student union building. So it starts in the morning from 8:30, and we'll be on campus till 4. So lots of opportunities to come and drop by and stand in and smile and shake people's hands and say welcome to fall of 2026 school. Mr. Cecil.
Good morning again. I guess this is on. Just got a few more announcements to make before we get started with the service. First of all, we've got the WMU meeting at Missy and John Davis' house on August 3rd at 10 a.m. And we're also, during the month of August, we're going to have a Christmas in August for the WMU Missionary Emphasis. It's in your bulletin. You can read about it there. They're hoping to help plant a church in Buford, Georgia. And they want some gift cards from Walmart, Target, Staples, or Amazon. And you can also always give cash or a check. Just make sure you give write a check. Make sure it's for Christmas in August on there. And there's no set time, I don't think, right now as far as when you get it in, but it's going to be happening during the month of August, which starts next Sunday. We still have the menu of ministries. If you have not turned those in yet, keep praying about where you might be able to serve here in the church and fill that out. Make sure you sign it and get it into the office or an office plate or any of the deacons. If you see one, just hand it to them. We'll get it to where it needs to go. The men's breakfast, the next one is Saturday, August 8th. That's 1 week from this coming Saturday. It's at 8 o'clock over in the fellowship hall. And those of you who are deacons, the next deacon's meeting was scheduled on August 4th. It's been changed to August 11th at 6 o'clock in the library. And I believe that's all I got right now. Oh, still got the Pure Water, Pure Love bottles. If you haven't gotten one, you can find them. This one is pretty full here. It's kind of heavy. But you can put your coins in there or bills, whatever you want to put in. And you can return it as soon as you get to us. We sure appreciate that. That's for the missionaries that are overseas. So they can get some fresh water with the water pumps from it. And now, if you will, if you read with me, open your heart and mind the worship. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. 1 Chronicles 16:3. And now, I think that's it. Pray. John's going to leave us in prayer.
As our praise team comes forward, let's bow our heads and pray. Oh, I was glad when they said unto me, let us come into the house of the Lord. Amen. We're so glad to be here today, Jesus. We're so glad that you gave your life, that you shed your lifeblood for us. And we come before you, Almighty God, to worship and praise you. And we do it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. So last week we sang this song, and I heard from people out in the congregation that that's the loudest they had heard y'all sing in a long time. So I figured we'd do it again this week so I could hear y'all singing loud. And if you know the motions to it from your childhood, you can do that. Some of the kids will be up here if they want to come up here and do this. And stand and sing with us this little ride of mine.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God is good. All the time. God is good indeed. What a way to start. Let it shine. Amen. You got to let it shine. Let it shine. We give God the glory. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord, and we continue praying for revival. Amen. We're asking God to manifest himself in a special way, only the way he can do it. And we want to see some folks come to know Jesus. We want more brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're praying for revival. We need revival. We need to be revived. But we are excited to be in the house of the Lord. Like the Word of God says in Psalm 118:24, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord. You may be seated. Just want to say thank you to all of you If you serve in Vacation Bible School in any capacity, whether you pray, you gave, or you serve, I'm going to ask you to stand, please. Vacation Bible School. All right. Well, praise the Lord. You may be seated. Thank you so much. It was a rough week, but we're here. We made it. God is with us, and we had fun. We danced a little bit. We cooked a little bit. We did, I want to say thank you so much, especially to Miss Cindy and Brother Jack for their in the midst of everything, their heart was here. And so, I want Miss Belinda to come, please. Miss Belinda, please come. And I'm going to ask Brother Rick also if you would come too. You know, you get two for one here. You know, that's the deal here. You get two for one. And so I want to say thank you very much to this wonderful couple. I think they live here. I think they live here. I will call Miss Belinda around 8 o'clock. She said, I already came from church. And so so I don't know where they sleep, but we need to find out. But we wanna have a little something for y'all. Here we go, Miss Belinda. Thank you so much. You do so much. And this here, brother, is for you to get some Cuban coffee, okay?
All right, I'll get Cuban coffee.
There we go. All right. Thank you, brother. We appreciate you very much. Thank you. Love you. Let us spend 1 minute to pray, please. If you have somebody in your heart this morning that you want to pray for, just voice the name, please. Father, we thank you so much for allowing us to come and speak with you. You are our God. You're the Almighty God. You're the God of the Bible, and you are our God. And you are in our midst. Father, these folks are dear to us. We love them. We care for them. Father, some are hurting from the loved one going home now. We just want to lift those families to you and those who are sick and those who are recuperating at home right now, Father. We just want to lift them up to you right now. Father, will you do a miracle? Will you restore them and restore their bodies? Father, we want to see them back in church. Father, we thank you for their lives. In Christ's name, amen.
I'm going to put some of these kids on the spot. Who can say their Bible verse from this week? Come on. And if you learned it as well, you can say it.
Jesus spoke to them again. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, will have the light of life.
Yes. Amen.
So we're continuing to sing about that light of life. Stand and sing. I saw the light.
Oh,
Let's pray, please. Father, we thank you so much for today. And Lord, we thank you for letting us see the light. Just thank you for what you do for us. Father, as we come to this time of the service, please bless the gift and the giver. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated.
Okay.
So following VBS that focused on Jesus as the light of the world, so now what? This next song illustrates that we all have a candle in us, but as Christians, our candle is lit by faith in God's love. We are called to take that light and reflect the love and hope in Jesus. We should take this light to all people, no restrictions, all people we should take the light to. Don't keep your light in these four walls. We come here every Sunday and we shine our light, but don't keep your light in here. Take your light out to the world for all to see.
Raise our candles and light up the sky, praying to our Father in the name of Jesus. Make us a beacon in the darkest times.
So carry your candle, run to the
see you.
Looks like we were having church in here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So good to praise the Lord. He is worthy to be praised and adored. So exciting. Excited what God is doing in our midst. We just give God the glory for all that he's doing. And we are so excited. Thank you so very much to all of those who serve and participated in Vacation Bible School. I thought we had a tremendous, tremendous Vacation Bible School. Sometimes it's not about the numbers. It's what God is doing in our hearts. It's what the Lord is doing in our hearts. And Friday was great. We had new families came, and we're able to share the gospel and to be the light. And that's what we're here to do. The rest belongs to the Lord. As we continue our series with time, today we're going to be talking about time to rebuild. And we're going to be in the book of Nehemiah, and I'm going to ask you to turn there. And we are going to read the first five verses. And once you have it, I'm going to ask you to stand, please, in reverence to God's holy word. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hashaliah. It came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel, the Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I said, I prayed, God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Father, we thank you so much for today. We give you all honor and glory. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you are doing in our midst. Father, thank you, Father, for our obedience to you. At the end of the day, Father, is really all that it matters is that we obey you, Father. And so, Father, thank you for allowing us to minister, to be the light in our community where you have planted us. Father, we are definitely blooming where you have planted us. Father, we thank you so much for the life of our church. Thank you for what you're doing in our midst. And may you, O Lord, be glorified and exalted. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. It's time to rebuild. It's time to rebuild. Merriam-Webster defines rebuild as to make an extensive repair, to reconstruct, to restore to a previous state, to rebuild, to build again. Nehemiah in chapter 1, it tells us a little bit of what was happening in the life of God's people at the time. Verse 1 tells us that his name is Nehemiah, the son of Hashaliah. And it came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel. Shushan was the citadel, was actually Susa, which was the capital of Babylon, the Babylonian Empire, modern-day Iraq. He was about 900 miles away from home. The Assyrians had taken over. They had conquered the Babylonians under the leadership of Artaxerxes I, the Assyrian king, And of course, Nehemiah, the word of God says that he was a cupbearer. That's what he was. God had moved him up in the ranks, and he actually served in the king's palace. That means he had a little access to the king. Matter of fact, he saw the king very constantly every day. For a cupbearer, what they did, if somebody tried to poison the king, they had to taste the wine before the king tasted it. In other words, his life was three times a day. If he had three meals, I don't know if he had any snacks, but three times a day, his life was in jeopardy. If there was venom in the wine, then instead of the king dying, then Nehemiah would die. But of course, God had protected him for many, many years. Just like God protects us every day. The Lord takes care of us. He takes care of each one of us. This is why we're here today. Amen? The Lord has been good. And he has taken care of us. So the question then becomes, what is needed to rebuild? What is needed to rebuild? We need to rebuild. So what is needed? The first thing is that we are not alone. In September 25, 2023, according to Lifeway Research, the numbers were not to jump for joy. It says that according to this study, 80% of Southern Baptist churches are in plateau or decline. They're plateau and decline. The epidemic is all over. It's all over the world. Six out of 10 churches are in decline or plateau. They're not going anywhere. They're not reaching anybody. They're just meeting on Sunday. That's all they do. 39% are in decline. 42.5, according to that study, are in plateau, and only 18.5 were actually growing. So what do we do? What's the first thing that we need to do? What was the first thing that Nehemiah did in reference to rebuilding? Well, the first thing is you have to assess the damage. You have to assess the damage. You got to get the facts. And he tells us the facts in verse 3. And they came and they said to me, survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. And here it is. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. But what were the facts for them? The wall was down. The wall represented protection for them. It was an offensive and defensive mechanism, and it was broken down. Also, the gates were burned with fire. So we need to assess the damage. We need to look at ourselves. We need to look at our church and say, where do we need help? What do we need to strengthen? We need to assess where we find ourselves. But the second thing that we need to learn is that we need to have a heart. Look at verse 4. Now Nehemiah has the facts. Now he's got the assessment of what's happening 900 miles away. But look what he does. He says, so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept. He cried. It hurt him. It hurt him. It said, and mourned for many days. In other words, when he heard this news, it was like somebody had passed away. There was mourning. He was concerned. He had a heart And he says, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. He had a heart. In order for us to rebuild, we need to have a heart. But we also need to keep our faith. We have to keep our faith. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we got to keep our faith. We don't see it, but we believe it. We believe that God will fill our pews. We believe. Do you believe? Do you believe that we'll have chairs in our aisles? Do you believe? Do you believe that we'll have a second service? Do you believe? We got to sharpen our faith. We got to trust the Lord. We got to keep our faith. But we also got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Do you see what Nehemiah did? He didn't put it on Facebook, because he didn't have Facebook. He went straight to God. Because that's God's city. That's God's people. And we have to keep our eyes on the Lord, not on each other. We got to keep our eyes on the Lord. Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. These are spiritual things, because the church is the Lord's church. It's not our church. We got to keep our eyes on the things above. We all know football season is coming. And we got to be like the running back coach tells his running backs, keep the legs moving. We got to keep moving. We got to have faith. We got to keep our eyes on Jesus. And we got to keep moving. If the Lord wakes you up, be in the house of God. Amen? Unless you're on vacation. Be in the house of the Lord. Believe it or not, people are watching you. Your neighbors are watching you. When you come to church, they know. And when you don't come to church, they know too. There is an expectation even from our neighbors to see where we are. You know, sometimes we got so many things to do that we say, well, I can't go to church today. You know, this week I felt like I lived at First Baptist Church. I wanted to change my address to 209 South Miller Street. And when you put God first, in the back of my mind, I said, Lord, I got to cut my grass. My neighbors are going to start complaining. And with all the rain, as you and I know, you cut, and 2 or 3 days later, you got to cut it again. And say, Lord, how am I going to cut my grass? And the Lord said, well, don't worry about your grass. Go and serve me. When I got home, somebody cut my grass. See, if you seek the Lord first, God takes care of the other thing. Sometimes we worry about these other things. Do you mean to tell me if you put God first and his things first, that God is not going to provide for you? Of course not. He will always provide, because his word will never come back void. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And then he says, and all things will be added unto you. Put God first. Don't say, well, if I have time, I'm going to the house of God. If I have time, I will serve the Lord. If I have time. No, you say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Period. Try him. And you'll see. He had a heart. When he heard that the walls were down, when he heard that the gates were on fire, it hit him. when we see these pews, empty pews, it should hit us. When we see our attendance, when we see our finances, it should hit us. It should make an impact on us. Nehemiah said, "How? What's going on here? I'm 900 miles away." And what does he do? He prayed. 4 and 5. "So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven." Folks, we're going to have to pray and we're going to have to fast. This is a spiritual battle, and you need spiritual weapons. I can use them fasting. He prayed. And I said, "I pray, Lord God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who you love and observe your commandments." He prayed. He called upon the Lord. We need to call upon the Lord. We need to have special time for prayers, special time for fasting. We got to be like that running back. We got to keep moving the legs. We got to keep trusting the Lord. That's what we need to do. It wasn't the first time that a servant of God was against the wall. Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20:15, the Moabites and the Amorites and those from the mountains of Seir were coming. Jehoshaphat probably was one of those few faithful kings who was faithful to God. He didn't have a lot of weapons. But he should trust the God in the middle of the storm. I encourage you to read 2 Chronicles 20. This is what the Lord told him. See, they were coming. And they weren't coming just to take his things away. They were coming to wipe the house. And he says, this is what God told him. "Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed." He said, "At this great," and he called it a horde, "for the battle is not yours, but God's." You know what happened that night? Three nations were coming against Judah. And in the midst of the ambush, they began to fight against each other. And they kill themselves. Jehoshaphat did not have to move one finger. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Because he learned to trust the Lord in the good, in the bad, in the storm, or in a sunny day. We got to learn to trust the Lord. And what I mean, you have to learn to trust the Lord. You got to stand and say, "God, I'm going to trust you. I don't know how this is going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen at the end. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I'm just going to trust you." That's called faith. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God. So he prayed. How is your prayer life today? Do you only pray for your food? In order for us to rebuild, it's going to take more than that. We need to call upon God. We need the Jeremiah 33 kind of prayer. That's what Nehemiah did. And he said, Lord, thank you for this wonderful day. Lord, give me strength, give me power. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, God. Help me, God. I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to trust you, Lord. It wasn't just little. Thank you, Jesus, for today. He wept. He cried. When was the last time you cried before God? Sometimes I want to cry and I can't cry. I mean, if you understand what I'm saying. Somebody told me, buy onions. I got my daily onions. Those didn't work. Those are sweet. Just make sure you get the right onions if you're going to cry. But he cried. He wept before the Lord. Fourth thing he did, he became part of the solution. If you look at chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, then the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, now did you see what he did? He didn't respond to the king immediately. He talked to God first. He did not respond to the king immediately. The king said, what's your request? He said, I got to talk to God. I wonder what would happen if we did that. If the first thing we say, hey, no, I got to talk to the Lord first. I tell you, we will save a lot of money on Tylenol if we seek the Lord first. He didn't respond to the king. He's the king. That, see, in his heart, he's not the king. He's the king. He said, I got to talk to my king, my king. We have a king, and his name is Jesus. We got to talk to him first. So he talks to God first, and then he talks to the king, to the earthly king. And look what he says. And he said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. He didn't say, y'all need to go. Y'all need to do this. If you only did that, then the church would grow. If you just did that, well, I get money for it. Here it is. He didn't say that. Did you see what he did? He became part of the solution. And part of the solution says, here I am, Lord, send me. If we're going to rebuild this church, don't send anybody else. Just say to the Lord, like he told the king, send me. I want to go. Count me in. Sign me up. I want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. We already had a problem. And we all need to say, Lord, here I am. I want First Baptist Church not to die. I want this church to thrive. I want it to go back to the glory days. Count me in, whatever it is. Maybe it's to make a phone call. Maybe it's to send a card. Maybe it's to invite somebody. Do you know why pastors die? There's statistics about this. Because of stress of ministry. You know where that comes from? Congregation say, you the preacher, you're supposed to do that. in church planting where I served for many years, van driver, preacher, Sunday school teacher, picking people up, knocking on doors, getting chicken for the meals, you name it. And the mindset is, we pay you for that. Did you see what Nehemiah did? See, the body of Christ is not the preacher or Sunday school teachers or deacons. We are all the body of Christ. And we all, God has something for us to do. Nehemiah, he's not a preacher. He's a cupbearer for the king. And what is he saying? Come in. That's what we need. Say, Lord, I can't do anything. You can do the most powerful thing, and it's pray. Does the Lord count with you? Does the Lord say, okay, where are my people? I pray that you would say, count me in, Lord. Count me in. But what are we here to rebuild? What are we here to rebuild? Well, verse 3, it says, and they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. You know what we're building here? The first thing and the most important thing were the people. The people were in great distress. Other versions of Scripture says that they were in affliction. They had pain. They were concerned. The wall was down. There was no more security. There's no more safety. An enemy could come at any time and take over them and take their lives away. So the people were concerned. When we talk about rebuilding, we must put people first. It doesn't matter the color of skin. It doesn't matter the language. It doesn't matter their ethnicity. People are broken. And they need our help. And we got Jesus with us, the King of Kings. We got the light. We are the light. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are the one who's going to shine, who needs to shine. People are broken. Grandmothers raising grandchildren. Homes without a father. Single moms, 2 and 3 jobs. People are broken. There's no hope. You know where they are right now? They're at home or they're at work. They're broken. Divorce is an epidemic. Homes are broken. Children, teenagers committing suicide. We live in a broken society. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. You know what the answer is for brokenness? Jesus is the answer. He's my answer. He's your answer. He's the answer. He's what people are looking for. He's the answer. So what are we building? What are we building? What are we rebuilding? We need to build up people. We need to start at home, to start building each other up here in the house of God. We need to encourage one another. We need to come with a smile, because Jesus is the light of the world and He's living in us. We need to pray. We need to encourage one another. We need to pray for one another. But we also have been called to rebuild the city. The walls were down, the gates were down in our city. Our city needs Jesus. Our city is broken. And we got to think high of where God has put us. Doesn't matter what the reputation of our city is. For us, this is our home. And it's the most beautiful city in the world. Doesn't matter what's going on. We are here to rebuild this city. We got the best peaches in the world. Amen? We make the best buses in the world. We got the best high school in the world. See? Amen? We got the best people in the world. We got to rebuild this city. I know there's a lot of negativity out there. But let it not come out of our mouth. Because we are here to build this city. We are here to build this city. Nehemiah was called to rebuild the city. And he said, come in, I'm all in. I am all in. Are you all in to see what God's going to do in our city? Instead of talking about somebody, pray for them. Did you see what she did? Did you see what he did? No. Pray. This is where God has planted you. Bloom for Jesus. Bloom for Jesus. Can you imagine? The Lord has the book of life and says, here comes another one from Fort Valley. Here comes another one from Peach County. Those are my children down there doing the work of the Lord. Oh, here comes another one. Another one. Next thing you know, there'll be a party in heaven, all from First Baptist Church. But we're also here to do it for us. We need to prove our faith, that our faith is real. We need to believe that God will do it. Our faith has to be strong. We got to believe. It's not what the statistics say. It's what God is going to do. It's not what the numbers say. It's not what our Sunday school numbers say. It's not what our attendance say. It's about what God is going to do in this place. It's about our faith. It's about our heritage. It's about those folks who are now in the stands looking at us, like in the book of Hebrews. We need to do it for them as well, who gave their lives and served the Lord in our church. And now they're with Jesus. They're looking at us. We need to do it for us. We need to have a little sense of pride, a spirit of pride in the good sense that said, no, we can't let them down. They had glorious moments before those walls came down. Oh, Jerusalem was powerful. powerful. Nobody can mess with them. Remember those glory days. Say, we can't let them down. Got to do it for us. We're not going down. You know why? Because we have resurrection power in us. Jesus is in us, and he's alive, and we're alive. We are alive. Father, we thank you so much for today. We give you all honor and all glory, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be part of what you're going to do and what you are already doing. Father, we just want to thank you. Now, if there's anybody here today that doesn't know God, this is the day of salvation. Or perhaps you're here and you want to be part of this family of faith. This is the day to be part of this family. To join a church is to be part of the church, to be part of the church family. Our vision is to be a family of faith that glorifies God. We'd love for you to be part of it. We'd love for you to be part and come and serve the Lord together so we can rebuild lives, our city, and one another. Maybe you're here today, you're deciding, and today you want to decide, say, we want to join. We want to join this family of faith. As the music leads us, what's in your heart?
Stand and sing with us.
Brother Steve, he wants to be part of our fellowship. Amen? He wants to join our church. Brother, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. We love you, brother. You're already serving around here, so praise God. You just got to make it official now. We appreciate you so much, and Miss Beth, and thank you. So what we're going to do is if we can just come and shake his hand and give him a hug. How about that? Is that okay? Father, we thank you so much today for giving us the honor and privilege to be in your house. Oh, what a joy it is. What a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord. Father, thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing in Brother Steve's life and his family. And thank you, Father, that he comes and he says, I want to be part of this fellowship. I want to be part of this family as we rebuild together. We love you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen. We have a business meeting too, so please do not leave, those who are members of our church. Thank you, my brother.